So good afternoon, everyone. And today I'm going to talk about our recent work, the slightly broken higher spin currents in large NQED. So this work is done together with my advisor, Professor Yingchen He, and it's already posted on archive. So first, let me make a brief introduction to conformal field theories. CFTs are quantum field theories with conformal symmetry. It is useful not only in condensed matter to describe critical behavior, but also in string theory to describe the 2D auxiliary world sheet. It also has very nice mathematical properties. Many of them are endowed with interesting algebras. So in 3D and higher dimensions, the conformal symmetry is generated by translation, rotation, dilatation, and so-called special conformal transformation, which can be understood as the composition of inversion, translation, and another inversion. These symmetries, in return, put constraints on the operators. For example, the representation under rotation is given by the Lorentz spin S, and the representation of dilatation is given by the scaling dimension delta of the operator. The SCT, it singles out a very important type of operators called the primaries, which are invariant under the special conformal transformation. The delta and S of all the primaries consists the operator spectrum of a CFT, which is a very important information of the CFT. If we add a partial derivative on a primary operator, we get its descendants, which are of higher scaling dimensions, but no longer invariant under SCD. The primary, together with its descendants, composes the conformal multiplate. Now, not all the delta and S can exist in the operator spectrum. It has to satisfy the so-called unitarity bound, which is the inner product of a state with itself must be non-negative. This imposes a lower bound of the scaling dimension of a certain S. The saturation of this bound implies the conservation of current, which means that the divergence of this spinful operator equals to zero. For S equals one, this is the symmetry current corresponding to the local symmetries. For S equals two, this corresponds to the stress energy tensor conservation, which is given by the translation invariance. Whereas for S greater than or equals to three case, these higher spin currents are only limited to into several cases. For example, the free theories and 2D CFT. It is a consequence of integratability, and it puts strong constraints on the correlation functions. One can prove that with the presence of only one conserved higher spin current, all the correlation functions are uniquely determined to be the same as in free theories. Now, one of the cases where the higher spin currents are conserved are free theories. For example, the complex scalar field. In free theories, the scaling dimension of operators can be determined just by power counting. And if we consider the operators in the form of phi bar phi and S partial derivatives acting on either of them, we can show that these kind of operators actually saturates the unitarity bound and is this conserved current. One can write out explicitly these currents for small s, for example, s equals 1, 2, and 3. And we see that for s equals 3, the form of this operator is already very complicated. The way out is the so-called index-free treatment, where we actually contract this higher spin current with a null auxiliary field Z, and to be a index-free operator. And we can restore the original form by acting derivatives of Z on the hat J. Now things will be more interesting if we turn on an interaction, which is characterized by an expansion parameter lambda. Now two changes will happen. One is that the conservation is broken. This operator J in interacting theories it gets a non-zero divergence, lambda k, which is proportional to lambda. And consequently, this operator j gains a non-zero anomalous dimension, gamma s. This kind of slightly broken higher spin currents are important to consider because of several reasons. First, it is still the lowest lying operator in the spin S sector of the spectrum. So it is important for the implementation into some new numerical bootstrap technologies, such as the hybrid bootstrap. And second, one can show by Lightroom bootstrap that although the conservation is slightly broken, it still casts some constraint on the correlation function. And moreover, an important change into the operator spectrum takes place, which is called the multiplet recombination. If we consider a free theory, this multiplet terminates by acting a divergence on the JS because of its conservation, which makes it a short multiplet. Whereas in the interacting theories, if we act the divergence on the JS, we will get a series of its descendants. So where does these descendants come from? Because we know that we turn on the interaction adiabatically. So these two spectrums, the spectrums of the free theory and interaction theory should be connected adiabatically. The answer is that it comes from another multiplet in the free theory. This multiplet of K, which is this K operator, which is primary in the free theory, now is eaten by JS and become a descendant of this JS operator. So an important quantity to calculate about these higher spin slightly broken higher spin currents is its anomalous dimension, which can be considered as a measurement of interaction. There are several ways for this calculation. And the analytical bootstrap can tell us its asymptotic form. And we can also evaluate it with loop diagrams, which is quite rather complicated. Recently, people developed a simpler method to calculate such anomalous dimension by making use of the classical non-conservation equation. We will discuss about this method in more detail later. So our goal is to calculate the gamma S for various QEDs. So one of the simplest way to turn on an interaction is to couple the free theory to a gauge field by replacing the partial derivatives with the covariant derivatives and add a dynamical term of the gauge field, which is in the U1 gauge theory can be the Maxwell term. This is one of the few known ways to get interacting CFTs in D larger than 2. However, these theories are not as well known for bootstrappers as non-gauge theories. We can already get very accurate results from numerical bootstrap for Wilson-Fisher, Gross-Naveau, et cetera, but not for gauge theories. Quantum electrical dynamics is very important both in high energy physics and in condensed matter physics. It can be used to describe exotic phase transitions such as deconfined criticality and the exotic quantum critical phases such as the direct spin liquid. So in our work, we consider various U1 gauge theories. For example, there is Slater QED, which couples the complex scalar field, not only to a gauge field, but also to a 5-4 theory mediated by a auxiliary field sigma. There is also, for example, the tricritical QED, the QED3, which we are more commonly known, and the QED3 Gross-Naveau Yutawa. So to do the So to do the perturbative calculation, we need a good starting point. One of these starting points is the large number of flavor limits. In this case, the large number of flavors actually suppresses the quantum fluctuation and make the leading order theory look like a Gaussian theory. which means that the Weights theorem still applies, but we should modify the Feynman rules. Namely, the photon propagator should be replaced with the dressed photon propagator, which includes all these fermion bubbles, which is in the leading order of large N. And this effective propagator turns out to be of order 1 over N. Then we can arrange all the diagrams in the order of 1 over N by just counting the number of fermion loops and photon lines. So with all these ingredients in hand, we now introduce the method to calculate anomalous dimensions by the non-equilibrium equation. We take a very simple example, which is the 3D large N Wilson fissure, written in terms of an Hubbard-Stratonovich field, sigma. We write down its equation of motion and take the two-point function of both sides. We evaluate the right-hand side to the leading order by weight contraction and evaluate the left-hand side to the next to leading order. We keep the gamma phi in the power. After evaluating these derivatives explicitly, we can see that the left-hand side is proportional to gamma phi, and the right-hand side is proportional to 1 over n, which gives us the leading order result of the anomalous dimension of phi. We can apply the same method to the slightly broken higher spin currents in 3D. We can, then by making use of the equation of motion, we can write out the divergence k explicitly and evaluate the leading order correlation of k and j. Their quotient is proportional to the anomalous dimension. So here we show the explicit result of our calculation for the various theories and for currents both in the singlet sector and the adjoint sector of the flavor group. One thing to notice is that the results for the bosonic theories are exactly the same as the fermionic theories in the leading order. But we think this is just a coincidence because they start to deviate for the next in higher orders. The second thing to notice is the asymptotic behaviors. For all these theories, the anomalous dimension diverges logarithmically. If we compare this divergence with non-gauge theories, we can find that it is actually very different. Unlike the gauge and gauge theories, for non-gauge theories, this field operator phi is actually in the operator spectrum, which makes this JS operator in its twisted family. And by Lyapunov bootstrap, we know that this gamma S it converges to a finite limit. But this is not the end of the story, because we have assumed that N is large a prior. So this result only applies to the case where log S is way smaller than N. We can ask about the asymptotic behavior at log S way larger than N. There are two possibilities. First is the gamma S keep diverging in a manner of log S. It can also converge to some finite limit. But we know due to the convexity of this curve that this limit must be of order 1. While for non-gauge theories, for example, the Wilson fissure, this gamma S should converge to a limit of order 1 over N. So for gauge theories, the lowest lying spin S operator must have a diverging N times gamma S, which is a crucial difference between gauge theories and non-gauge theories. So now we consider another case of conserved higher spin currents, which is in two dimensions. in 2D conformal symmetry, there are infinitely many number of symmetry generators forming the Virasoro algebra, and there is, in consequence, an infinite amount of conserved currents. It's interesting to put a perturbation on the dimensionality, that is to consider the 2 plus epsilon dimension. It is an interesting expansion to think about because it is unlike the normal expansions, which starts from a free theory. This is actually a perturbation starting from an interacting solvable theory. One can still ask about the multiplet recombination in this case, which requires this short multiplet of JS eats another primary multiplet K in 2D to become a long multiplet in 2 plus epsilon dimensions. This requires this K operator to have a spin of S minus 1 and a scaling dimension of S plus 1. But for 2D interacting theories, such operators does not generally exist. So to find out the mechanism for multiplet recombination, we consider a concrete example, which is the SUN level 1 West Domino-Witten CFD, which is dual to the QED2 with n direct fermions. Then we can do a double expansion regarding epsilon and n. We can get once again the anomalous dimension of gamma s in QED in 2 plus epsilon dimensions. One thing to notice is that this divergence operator K is proportional to the field strength F, but the two-point function of the two of this F is proportional to epsilon over n. That is, this field strength F actually decouples from the theory in 2D. So does this K operator. So the new mechanism for the multiplet recombination is that this K operator drops out from the spectrum at exact 2D and appears only when we perturb the dimensionality a little bit. So to conclude, in this work, we calculate the anomalous dimensions of the slightly broken higher spin currents in various bosonic and fermionic QEDs in 3D. And we conclude that the lowest lying spin S operator has diverging n times gamma S, which is a key discrepancy from non-gauge theories. And we also study the QED in 2 plus epsilon dimensions and derive a different mechanism for the multiplet recombination. There are a few open questions to ask about. For example, how can we apply our results to the hybrid bootstrap technology to help the numerical bootstrap of gauge theories? Is there any possible physical or experimental correspondence of the result of gamma S? Because we know that the conservation of higher spin currents corresponds to the integratability. So we can ask, does the slightly broken higher spin currents correspond to some non-equilibrium properties of CFD? For example, the thermalization and scrambling. And more interestingly, do we have more insights into the QED in 2 plus epsilon dimensions? Because this might be a interesting way to think about the difference of and CFTs in 2 dimensions and higher dimensions. So that is all of my talk. Thank you for listening. Any questions? Yes. Yes.
So, but I saw it's not that it's not quite the same. Sorry, I don't know.
It means, so it appears on the power of the propagator. Not the propagator, the two-point function.
The two-point function.
Yes.
Okay, so it's power,
yes.
And you do this perturbatively.
Yes.
And you hope that you can recover the entire interaction structure at every order.
Yes. Yes.
Could you tell us a bit more about this point two? Point two, this discrepancy from non-gauge theories. Do you have any intuition behind it? For us, you know, who are not experts in this.
Actually, we just Okay, so for gauge theories, for non-gauge theories, we know that this operator phi must exist in the operator spectrum. So this means that the slightly Brown higher spin currents must have a anomalous dimension, which is in the large S limit twice the anomalous dimension of phi. But for the gauge theories, this phi is not gauge invariant, so it is not in the operator spectrum. So we no longer have this constraint. So it no longer have to like converge to a limit in the order of 1 over n.
The y-axis is on the first order.
Yes.
In 1 over
spin,
it has a spin of
order. And so in this graph I show the horizontal axis is the spin s and the vertical axis is the anomalous dimension.
What is the meaning of s?
S is the spin.
I remember you mentioned that up to the first order calculation, you got that the result was the same for fermions and bosons.
Yes.
When you do this large N calculation.
Yes.
I mean, it's interesting because also when you do, you know, when you do relativistic calculations, but then you take the limit for small energies, then the kinetic energy for both fermions and bosons is the same. It's just B squared over 2M. No, I know that it's not the same, but is there any parallel between those two things? Because in this case, you're taking a large L limit, and that's
yes.
You're taking a small energy limit. Maybe there's some connection.
To this point, we actually does not quite understand this this coincidence of the fermionic and bosonic results, but. And this result is not the same in the higher order of 1 over n. And I do think that 1 over n, it suppresses some kind of quantum fluctuation. So might have, I didn't think about this carefully, but might have some correspondence to the low energy. Yes?
My fault that I didn't quite understand why you took your third because you said you were studying the case of QED in 2000.
Yes. Yes.
Can you explain if you were creating what you need to deviate from whatever?
Because we know that these interacting theories, they behave very differently in two dimensions and higher dimensions. So we would like to understand where this deviation comes from. One easy way is to put a perturbation on the dimensionality a little bit. So we only lift the dimensionality a little bit and see what will happen.
Thank you.